This is the weekly message from Restoration Church in Odessa, Texas. If you would like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.restoreodessa.com. There you can also give financially to support the ministry. Now, here's this week's message.
Thank you, Lord. Well, as I mentioned, we are continuing and we are in week four of our series called Stand. And throughout the series, we have been looking at what it means to stand through the lens of the book of Daniel. And quite honestly, Joyce and I were actually talking on Monday. The whole reasoning behind this series is that we can see an example of what it means to stand in a world that is in opposition to God. In the last 3 weeks, we have seen Daniel himself stand in some difficult situations, haven't we? Through those moments, we have learned that standing takes conviction and courage, that it takes sometimes releasing our comfort or even standing when everything else is falling around us. And last week, we talked about standing means having character, that we can stand in prayer and that we can trust God with the results. Next week, we are going to conclude the series with a fire message. You know, that's a slang term, and I just thought I'd, you know, it's very popular right now. You know, that was so fire. You won't want to miss it, because it's going to be that good. Actually, we're going to be talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. So that's actually why I said it was going to be fire. But my prayer is that you leave this place encouraged and with the fortitude to stand in life's most difficult situations. Because we can find ourselves in some fun spots, can't we? Truthfully, sometimes the weight of those things can seem to be too much. And it's in those moments that we're going to find out today that we have to stand in faith. Now, really, you probably could have taken this message and last week's message and put them together and made one giant message, and I could have preached for about an hour and a half, and you would have loved me so very much. But I really felt like I needed to separate them today because I really believe this morning that there's someone in this place that needs some faith today, that needs to know what it looks like to stand in faith. And of all the messages in this series, I believe this one may be the most impactful. It's a message of hope. So let me ask you as we start, have you ever prayed for something for a long period of time? It seemed like it just went on and on and on. Now, you've prayed earnestly. You've prayed faithfully. But there were times that you felt like heaven was silent. You sought God like we talked about this morning. But days turned into weeks and weeks turned into months and still no answer came. I have been in times like this where I've had wondered if God was even listening. Have you been there? Listen, I believe that God is going to speak directly to some of you who've been praying for a very long time today, believing that God would do something significant. And you've been praying and believing, but you still haven't seen results. In our passage today, this is exactly where we find Daniel. We already know that Daniel is no novice when it comes to the ways of God. He just faced the lion's den. Actually, this particular story is about 10 years after the lion's den moment. You know, he's endured exile. He's endured political upheaval. He's seen the rise and fall of kings. And he's had a long history of faithfulness and a lifetime of seeing God move. But now we find some of the children of Israel, like the first wave of the children of Israel, have been allowed to return to Jerusalem since the exile. Now, this return is slow. The city is in shambles. And so the promises of God are unfolding, but not as quickly as hoped for, probably, for some. Only a few had returned, and in that return, they have faced difficulties. And so Daniel is having a moment here in Scripture. And he is burdened for his people. Let's look at it. Daniel chapter 10, if you want to turn there in your Bibles with me this morning. Daniel chapter 10, and we're going to be working our way through that chapter this morning. But we're going to be reading verses 1 and 2 to start with. It says, in the year of King Cyrus, or Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long. And he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I don't know if you noticed there, but in verse number one, it said that the time was long. You know, have you ever had to ask God, you know, how long, God, do we have to wait? You know, sometimes, you know, we talk about the Lord's coming is imminent in the assemblies of God. It means that he could come at any moment. But then we sometimes think, well, God, how long? How long? And again, I ask you, have you ever felt like that? Are you feeling that like that right now? We know that God has the answer. We see small glimpses of the fulfillment, yet it still seems so far away. This is where Daniel was. Scripture tells us that he was in mourning, in a season of waiting and of spiritual warfare. And it tells us that for 21 days, he does what he has done many times before. He fasts and he prays. He fasts and he prays. Seeking understanding from the Lord for his people. And for 3 weeks, though, there appears to be no answer. No vision, no word. And it's the kind of waiting that drains you emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Throughout this whole interaction, though, we see that God's silence is not due to God's absence. The heart of this chapter is standing in faith, standing when you don't hear God speaking. Standing in faith doesn't mean that you won't wait. It doesn't mean that you won't be worn thin. But it does mean that you choose to remain steadfast even when you can't see what God is doing, like we talked about last week. It means trusting that God hears, that he fights for you, and that he works even when the timetable is different than you expected. Come on, somebody. You know we like things fast, right? So if you're here today and you've been praying for a long time and you've been worn out by the waiting, or even if you don't feel strong enough to stand, when everything around you says give up, faith says to stand. When you don't see the results, faith says keep believing. When you feel weak, faith says his strength is made perfect in your weakness. So today, let's again learn from Daniel what it means to stand in faith. The first thing we notice is that to stand in faith, we need to do it even when we don't see it. And we began this very part of the conversation last week. Even though we can't always see it, God is working. Things are happening behind the scenes in the spiritual realm, and we cannot see with our physical eyes. Excuse me. This is the very nature of faith. Hebrews 11, chapter 1, or verse 1 tells us that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Even when I can't see it, he's working. Faith isn't based on what you can verify with your eyes. Man, I wish that sometimes it was like that, right? I wish that at times that I could see it with my eyes. But it's anchored in what God has spoken in his word. Faith means choosing to believe that what God said is already settled in heaven, even when it hasn't showed up yet on earth. It's a confidence, an expectation without visible proof that it will happen. This is addressed by Paul to the Corinthians church in his second letter to them. He is speaking of the assurance of the resurrection one day for the believer, telling them that this world is not their home, that heaven is, and that there is a place being prepared for them. And he goes on to say that he can't, even though you can't see it, Because the scripture tells us that to be present in this body is to be absent from the Lord, right? But then he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." In other words, even though you don't see what is waiting for you, it's there. We walk in the trust that God, what he says, is awaiting us and will be there in our appointed time. Faith does not ignore reality, though. What faith does do is helps us to interpret our reality through the lens of the Father. I don't know what it is that you're facing today. You may be searching for something more. You know there is more to this life than what you've seen. And I'm here to tell you that you will only see it if you look to Jesus. Because in him we have faith that he is working on our behalf. Man, we've sang about it today, and now we're seeing it through his word. And if you've been waiting for a breakthrough, it takes faith and trust that God is working, even though you don't see it. Healing comes through faith. Come on, hear me this morning. Scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, it says, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? I have one right here on the pulpit. Can you see it? I'm kidding. I really don't have one right here on the pulpit. But it's that small. If you have the faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will be moved. Stand in faith today, even when you can't see it. Now, I get it. The hardest part about faith is the waiting. We often assume that silence means that God isn't doing anything, usually in our human intellect and human thinking. But Daniel chapter 10 shows us that that is not the case. Looking back at Daniel, we already know that Daniel had been praying and fasted for 3 full weeks. For 21 days, he had been waiting for an answer. But from Daniel's perspective, nothing was happening. Heaven was silent. And when the heavenly being finally appeared before him, now a quick note here before we move on with that, is it talks about a man in clothed in linen, this heavenly being. A lot of scholars believe that this was what's called a Christophany, which would mean a pre-incarnate Jesus showing up to Daniel in this moment. Before he came in the flesh. Others say it was just an angel. But regardless of who it was, this heavenly being has come to Daniel's side, and we see exactly what we're talking about this morning. We see that even though we don't see it, God is working. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words.'" From the first day, the New Living Translation tells us, it says, "As I have come to answer your prayer." Verse 13 now, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia," a lot of times when you see that word Persia in scripture, it is referring to darkness. It is referring to evil. It's referring to the kingdom of the devil. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. That little verse right there makes me believe it wasn't a Christophany, but that's just because nothing can withstand our God, right? Amen? Sorry. Moving on. Squirrel, I know. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia." While Daniel fasted on earth, a battle was raging in heaven. While he waited, God's power was confronting the opposition. While he prayed, God was already dispatching the answer. So when it feels like nothing is changing, faith says, "God has already heard me. He is already working. I will not give up until the answer comes. That's what faith says. Have faith today. Have a faith like David. And in Psalm 27, we see where he declares, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Have faith today. Stand in faith even when we don't see it. But see, we also stand in faith even when we are weak. Now, I don't know anyone that likes to admit that they're weak. You know, we like to believe that we're strong and, you know, can take on anything most times. But one thing I love about Scripture is how real it is. We see all kinds of emotions and stages of life. There are times of waiting. There are times in the midst of the battle that we can find ourselves overwhelmed and exhausted. And Daniel is no exception. After weeks of praying and fasting, he was physically and emotionally drained. His strength was gone. In fact, verse 8 of Daniel 10 tells us, therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Then if you jump down to verse 17, he says it again. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Daniel had reached the end of himself. He had given all that he could. He had poured it all out to the Lord, and he felt drained and weary and tired. No strength left. You know, there's a common misconception that strong faith means never feeling weak or discouraged. But in Scripture, we find multiple occasions where the people of God were found weary and weak. Moses experienced this. It says the people of Israel were complaining. No surprise there. It was kind of a back and forth exchange. They complained. God's anger was aroused, and Moses would go to God to try to quench the Lord's anger. Can you imagine trying to lead a million plus people and them coming to you for complaints? I would be tired too. This time they were complaining about the food. You know, they didn't have the enchiladas and the rice and beans and the tacos al pastor and the chili verde. Come on, somebody. I'm speaking glory right now. No, they had been eating on manna for quite some time, and they were coming to Moses and said, is there anything else? Can God not do anything but manna? And Moses, now tired of it. I love this exchange we're going to see. And we see this exchange between him and the Lord. Numbers chapter 11, starting in verse number 11. It says, so Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? I just crack up at that. He's like, God, why'd you do this to me? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us this meat that we may eat. And then he says, I am not able to bear all these people alone, because the burden is too heavy for me. And then he goes on to say, if you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I have favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. I love that exchange because it's real, right? I mean, the burden of over a million people upon your shoulders. And then it finally got so much that Moses is like, Lord, what have you done to me? Just kill me. Come on, take me out. It's somebody else's turn. The burden was too much. Moses admits his weakness. You know, Elijah found himself in a similar boat. He had just defeated the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. I mean, it was an incredible victory, right? The prophets of Baal and their gods could do nothing, but God, the God, Almighty God, was able to consume all that was there before him. And so he had just defeated the prophets of Baal. It was a decisive and powerful victory. Yet afterwards, I'm sure he was tired from this encounter, and he finds out that Jezebel is after him. She tells him that he will end up dead like the prophets of Baal if she gets her hand on him. Now, have you ever had one of those moments when you were extremely tired and exhausted where you're just done like this? Well, that really happened to Elijah here. Scripture says that he runs for his life. But in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, it says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed, like Moses, that he might die. And said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. He was at the lowest of lows, like Daniel, like Moses. But it turns out if you read on, all he really needed was a nap and some food. Been there, right? But we see in both, in all three of these occasions, that moments of weakness come, even to those who are strong in their faith. In each case, God's power showed up in their weaknesses. We talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night in our study through Psalm 119. In that chapter, we find David speaking of suffering. But then he links it back to the fact that even in his suffering, he found that there was life in the Word of God. And then we looked to the story of Paul in 2 Corinthians, and in that passage, we find him speaking of a thorn in his flesh, a cause of weakness in his life, a cause of affliction. And he makes one of the most powerful statements that you can read in Scripture, 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength, this is God talking, is made perfect in weakness. So then Paul goes on to say, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This should bring some encouragement to you this morning. Despite our weakness, despite our affliction, despite all of the things that are demanding our attention, we can know that in those moments, God's strength is our reality. It's in those times where we feel as though we aren't able to go on that God shows up and puts his power on display for all to see. We are reminded in weakness of our need for him. It's not in our own power. It's not in our own abilities. It's through God that we are able to go on. When your strength runs out, faith leans on God's strength. Psalm 73, verse 26 tells us that my heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The psalmist Asaph in this passage expresses his human weakness. His feet had almost slipped. He saw the prosperity of the ungodly and was envious of the wicked who never seemed to suffer for their wrongdoing. Life did not seem fair, but he comes to a realization that despite this moment of weakness, despite everything that was going on around him, even though he may find himself in a place of weakness again, he acknowledges that God is the source of his strength. Where do you find yourself this morning? Are you like Moses or Elijah, Daniel, or even Asaph, and find yourself at the end of your rope? You've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed, yet it seems like there is no answer. Let me encourage you today, don't give up in your weakness. God is about to show up. These stories and Daniel's story show us that faith doesn't deny weakness, but it shows us to turn and depend upon God. Amen? When Daniel could no longer stand on his own, heaven helped him to his feet. Back to our main passage. In their exchange, the angel tells Daniel in verses 18 and 19, it says, "Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, 'O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be to you. Be strong, yes, be strong.'" In Hebrew thought, that phrase, "be strong," isn't just talking about physical strength. It also means being firm, being courageous, being resilient. Through the messenger, the Lord told Daniel, "You may feel weak, but I have your back. If in me you have strength." That should ignite something deep inside of you today. That should be a refreshing to your soul. Come on, we all face weakness, but the Lord of heaven and his armies have your back. In those times of weakness, we stand in faith because we know who is in our corner. Hallelujah. Psalm 105, verse 4 says, "Seek the Lord and his strength and seek his face forevermore." The last thing I want us to look at very quickly is, and we sang about it this morning, that to stand in faith means knowing that the battle is the Lord's. Daniel chapter 10, verses 20 and 21, the angel tells Daniel, says, "Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. So another will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. I must return to fight." Throughout this interaction between Daniel and the angel, the curtain is kind of peeled back to reveal a hidden reality. There is a spiritual war happening behind the scenes. We know that from our first point that the angel had been delayed by a demonic power referred to as the Prince of Persia, and now another, the Prince of Greece, would arise. Daniel wasn't just in the midst of a physical battle, but a spiritual one. Now, usually, gentlemen, it's at this point that we usually try to shine, right? Our first instinct is to square up, you know, throw your shoulders back and fight. Get to fighting. You know, when depression tries to rise up, we're ready to fight. When sickness comes, we're too stubborn to go to the doctor. I'm preaching about myself right there. We just man up and we carry on, right? When the answer is delayed, we start trying to fix it ourselves. Come on, ladies, help me preach a little bit. Y'all know it's true. But as we already discovered, even though we don't see it, God was already working. Because the fact is that the battle is not ours to begin with. The battle belongs to the Lord. Daniel didn't have to pick up a sword and confront Persia. His role was to pray, to stand, and to trust that God was fighting for him and the children of Israel. It goes back to our point from last week that as we stand, we have to let go and trust the Lord. We stand confident because we know the one who controls all things. When we stand in faith, it doesn't deny that a battle is raging, but it declares that the victory is already won in Christ. Come on, somebody. Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, we again look to Moses and the children of Israel. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever." Verse 14, "For the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." God told Israel to stand still. He didn't say you're on your own. He didn't say, well, good luck with that. He says, see that the salvation of the Lord is upon you. The Lord will fight for you. Over in 2 Chronicles, we find King Jehoshaphat and his army are faced with what seems like an impossible battle. And in chapter 20, verse 15, he says, "Listen, all of you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Church, family, friends, today, the battle is not yours, it is God's. Have faith, stand in faith, do not be afraid or dismayed, for the battle belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of you have been fighting battles that were never yours to fight. Battles of control, of worry, of trying to fix what only God can handle. And I get it, I've been there. And to be quite honest, I'll probably be found there again. Because I've mentioned before, I'm a bit of a control freak. Told you a little bit last week that I don't ski anymore because of that. But once again, we find that standing means surrendering. The battle belongs to the Lord. We can do all that we can do. We can pray, we can fast, we can move when he says to move. But we allow God to do what only he can do. I've prayed that prayer many times. God, do what only you can do. You've heard me pray it. Because the truth is, he can do more in a moment than I can do in a lifetime. Come on. I don't pray that prayer out of habit or out of just, you know, wanting to pray something. I pray it because I believe it. God, do what only you can do. When you release the fight to God, you make room for his power to work. When Israel stood still at the Red Sea, God parted the waters. When Jehoshaphat worshiped instead of worrying, God confused the enemy and gave them victory. When Daniel prayed and stayed faithful, God sent heaven's armies to battle, because the battle belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. Daniel 10 ends not with Daniel's strength, but with God's. He began the chapter trembling and weak, but ends it standing, not because of his circumstances changed, but because his faith was strengthened. That's what standing in faith looks like. It's believing that God heard you from the very first day. It's refusing to quit even when you can't see the results. It's leaning on God's strength when yours has run out. It's trusting that the battle belongs to him. You may not see the answer yet, but heaven is already moving. You may feel weak, but God's hand is on you. You may be surrounded by battles, but the Lord is fighting for you. Don't stop standing. Because when you stand in faith, you're not standing alone. You're standing in the strength of Almighty God. Hallelujah. As we wrap this up this morning, I just want to ask a couple of questions today. The first one is this: with every head bowed and every eye closed, you know, whether you realize it or not, there's been a battle raging since the beginning of time for you. For your soul. For your life. And the God of heaven and earth, sent his one and only son to bring a victory to that battle. That Jesus would take upon himself our sin and our shame and our infirmities. Because he loved us so much. He would do that and he would die. He would give up his life. But then 3 days later, he would rise again in victory. God is fighting for you. God is fighting with you, and he's fighting for you. And if you're in this place today, and you would say, I'm away from God, but today I want to give my life to Jesus. If that's you, would you just lift your hand and say, that's me? Is there anyone today? Amen. So here's the second thing. You know, I told you when we started this morning, or when I started this message, that I firmly believe that, you know, God was speaking to someone today. And you know, I had confirmation after confirmation leading up to this message, and even this morning, you know, we get a text from our presbyter every Sunday morning just to encourage us as leaders and pastors. And even this morning, God was confirming in me what was already on these pages. And our presbyter said this, Pastor Todd, he said, faith faces forward. And faith filters circumstances through the lens of God's promises. We saw time after time, and there's more examples than we can fit in the time allotment that we have in a service, of God coming through time after time and reminding us to stand in faith for the battle is his and not ours. And if you are here this morning and you would say, I'm going through a battle and I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I'm weary, and today you want to lay that at the feet of Jesus, for the battle's his. You want to put and stand in faith, believing that the Lord is already working, even in my weakness, and that he's fighting the battle. If that's you today, you want to take all that control that you have in your hands and say, Jesus, it's yours. I stand here knowing that you are able. If that's you today, would you just lift your hand and say, that's me. Amen. Is there anyone else this morning? Amen. Amen. Anyone else? So I want to invite you to stand this morning. Every one of us, all across the room, stand with me, please. The battle belongs to the Lord's. There were several that raised their hands. And what I want to do in this moment, you know, this is between them and the Lord. But I want us all across this room just to lift our hands. Just as an act of surrender. That's what that is. That's just an act of surrender to the Lord. And let's just pray for those that lifted their hands. And I'm going to pray and declare that the battle belongs to the Lord. Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise, for you are great and you are mighty. Lord, there scripture tells us that there's nothing too difficult for you. Nothing is impossible for you. So I speak into every situation this morning. Every moment of weakness, every doubt, every struggle, everything. And I say, have faith in Jesus' name. Have faith in Jesus' name. Lord, we lay it at your feet. For we know that you are working. For if our God is for us, who can be against us? Come on, somebody. We sang it, we've declared it, and now we believe it in Jesus' name, Lord, that you have the victory, Lord. And we stand in faith today. We stand in agreement for our brothers and sisters who are fighting, who have been fighting and weary. And we say, be strong in Jesus' name. Be courageous in Jesus' name. Have faith in Jesus' name. For God is with you. Your brothers and your sisters are with you. Hallelujah. And Lord, we just say thank you. We thank you for the precious gift we have in you, Lord. For your grace that is sufficient. For your strength when we are weak. We just say thank you, for you don't have to do it, but you do, because you love us so. And we just say thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen.